the phone is 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Kaylee. Good to be with you.
There is no shortage of big issues that you guys have been running into or tackling over the last week or so, including climate change and police reform and many other things. Let's start some of these big issues here. What have you seen come through the Senate as terms of, like, I mean, this, it's so much. I mean, I know you guys are cramming in the last week and a half or so, but it just seems like there's such big issues that you're trying to tackle here at the end.
Yes, and it is so much, and it's both of those things. We in the Senate have approved a major climate cap and trade bill through the Senate, and we also approved a number of police reform bills. The police reform bills have been really well worked. Those have come originated in the House of Representatives, came through all the committees, approved by House of Representatives, through the Senate committees, and finally through the Senate. I voted against those, but those did get approved. The climate cap and trade bill, for example, is a major, major piece of policy that has originated in the Senate, and it did pass the Senate. I voted against that bill for a variety of reasons, but now that bill has to make its way through the House process. I don't know that it will have time for that, but there are a few of these major pieces of policy, some of which are Governor Inslee's top priorities, that many Senate Democrats are trying to use these final weeks and days to pass, and it's unclear at this point whether or not it will actually happen all the way through the process and whether we have enough time to do that, but they're definitely trying.
Would that you kind of told us a little bit off there, but would that indicate that maybe the governor feels so important or feels so dramatically about them that he would try to call some sort of special session, or could the Senate and House leadership come together and try to say, hey, look, we definitely need to do this, so we'll just take an extra week or two?
Well, if it is an extra week or two, it would require a special session, and interestingly enough, that is what kind of part of the rumor mill is around Olympia. And I happen to be in Olympia this week, but that is kind of the rumor mill, is that these have been pent up policy priorities of Governor Inslee for so long. And frankly, Governor Inslee has failed to deliver on his priorities. I know many of his key constituents don't want to acknowledge that, but he's tried these before over a number of years. You know, now he has the broad majorities in both the House and the Senate, which he's had for a while, actually. He tried to run an initiative on carbon tax, which that initiative failed. And now he's coming back to a cap and trade bill, which is his major piece of policy. And I think he really feels very strongly that something on climate, on greenhouse gas emissions, has to get across the finish line. And in some ways, if it's not the carbon cap and trade bill, I think his fallback is this other proposal related to low carbon fuels as a low carbon fuel standard, which we've talked about. That also passed the Senate. So I don't know if Governor Inslee is hoping to just get one of these, but he might get more than one too, depending on how it all shakes out over the next week or so. And if they get really close to your question, and they run out of time, and since, you know, people are mobilized either in a remote session or in person, like some sort of hybrid, Governor Inslee might just keep it going and immediately call a special session to get some of these big priorities across the finish line.
And that transportation package recently passed out of the committee. Now where does it head, and what does it look like for that?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the third leg of this stool, is this major new transportation investment package, which has not only an increase of the gas tax by about 10 cents, is connected to that carbon cap and trade bill with an extra carbon fee. That bill did pass out of committee yesterday. I serve on the Senate Transportation Committee. I voted against it. You know, I just don't feel like our state is ready for all these additional fees, especially as we pull out of the COVID pandemic. Plus, when you take the potential gas tax increase from the new transportation investment package, and you couple it with the potential gas tax, not a gas tax increase, but the potential effects of the increased cost of gas for both the carbon cap and trade bill and then also the low carbon fuels bill. I mean, we could see maybe upwards of 65 cents of an increase per gallon on gas just from the result of these three policies. But that particular bill did pass the committee yesterday and will come likely before the Senate if the votes are there within the next few days.
Speaking of gas taxes, you got me thinking about alternative vehicles. And I know one of your bills we've already discussed this week that has passed and is on the way to the governor's desk is the hydrogen fuel, or sorry, the hydrogen hydrogen car sales tax package that and bill that you've got passed. What are we looking at in terms of timelines, in terms of when we can start to expect to see these kinds of vehicles coming into the state of Washington? I know Douglas PUD is working on a facility to process hydrogen fuel. So what sort of is the timeline after the governor signs it that we can start to see some of the benefits of your hard work?
Yeah, well, thanks. And I'm really excited about this. I guess, you know, I am a big clean transportation advocate. I don't want to make it sound like the way I've been voting on some of these measures that I'm not. I'm just much more of a person who wants to incentivize clean transportation through clean options rather than through punitive measures through, you know, extra costs of gas and things. So I'm a big supporter of hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. I think basically we need to have a few things in place in our state. We need to have the production of renewable hydrogen, which my bill from a couple years ago authorized the PUDs to do, and which Douglas PUD, as you mentioned, is now in the process of constructing their renewable hydrogen facility. That should be done, according to Douglas PUD, in November of this year. So we'll have the hydrogen in-state, homegrown, home-produced hydrogen by towards the end of this year. The governor hopefully will sign this bill. It's headed to the governor's desk, which will provide a parity in sales tax treatment between fuel cell electric vehicles and what the state has long provided to battery electric vehicles. So that we have some technology neutral efforts there. And then I guess the point is we also need fueling infrastructure. Just like we need charging facilities for battery electric vehicles, we need fueling infrastructure for hydrogen vehicles. The hydrogen proponents, however, believe that we can catch up to the battery electrics rather quickly because there isn't as much upstream back-end infrastructure challenges with hydrogen fueling. You can convert some of the existing stations to hydrogen fuel. You can add a hydrogen, kind of like you swap out a propane tank. You can do an above-ground hydrogen deployment tank at some of these gasoline stations. Or you can build a hydrogen fueling station with underground storage, which maybe is something Douglas PUD would do right there at their production facility or somewhere else in Wenatchee. So there's definitely some options. We've gotten a couple of the things out of the way, but we do need a few fueling stations. The first hydrogen fueling stations are going to be put in place in our state in Southwest Washington this year. So fortunately, all things are kind of coming together. But ideally, if we could get a hydrogen fueling station on I-90, or maybe just one in Wenatchee, for example, and one at the Port of Seattle, there's no reason we couldn't be shipping the world's best apples from Wenatchee all the way to the Port of Seattle on hydrogen semi-trucks because they have such a long range. And then when a semi-truck, for example, gets to the Port of Seattle, they don't need to recharge all night long. They can just refuel with hydrogen in a matter of minutes and then come right back. So there are a lot of exciting opportunities for hydrogen vehicles, but just like it's taken us 20 years to get here with battery electrics, might take us a few years at least to get going with the hydrogen vehicles.
All right, real quickly, 30 seconds or less, Brad. Can you give us an update on the other bill that you sponsored, the utility wildland fire bill?
Yes, that bill got amended in the House. As such, we had to take one more final agreement vote in the Senate, which we did yesterday afternoon. It now heads to the governor and hopefully will be signed in a few weeks. And I'd like to thank Chelan PUD and other electric utilities and the DNR for helping me so much on that bill. I'm excited that we're taking a step forward on that this year.
All right, Brad. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you both so much. Great to be with you.